All right. Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion and we'll take this? I look forward to taking communion. It's something that it really blesses my heart. It blesses my soul. I get excited about taking communion because I know what it does. I know what it means, and it's not a drudgery. It's not a religious drudgery for me. It's something that I can. I know it's going to have an effect on my body. I know it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Now, she's got one. You need another one? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. See, when I say you take this in faith, that's what I'm talking about. By discerning the body of Christ, you're taking this in faith. You're not just taking it out of a religious habit. You're not just taking it because it's the second Sunday of the month. Or you're not just taking it because of whatever reason. You're taking it on purpose. This bread has been beaten. This is the body of Christ. He was beaten and bruised for us. And in this bread, there are stripes. And it's by His stripes that we were healed. This bread has also been pierced. His body was pierced for us. And this bread is slightly burned. I mean, Jesus took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The wrath that was meant for us, He took it on Him so that we could be whole. His body was broken. And it's by His stripes we were healed. Jesus, Your blood was shed all over the place. And for our redemption, not only did it wash away our sins, but it protects us, and it seals in the New Testament promises for us. These are blood-bought promises that we stand on, and they are ours, and we receive them in the name of Jesus. All right. Open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. You know, a lot of people are running around and they think that coronavirus is the big enemy of the world today. The big enemy, one of the big enemies of the world today is fear, worry. Another one is Christian amnesia. Is that a new term? You ever heard of that? Christian amnesia. Every one of us has fought with that. I'll tell you something. I can't remember the name of this medical condition, but there's a medical condition that happens under severe anxiety. It causes your sweat glands to produce blood, to break down the capillaries in your sweat glands, to actually produce blood, and blood will come out of you. See, Jesus experienced this at the Rock of Gethsemane. Now, He was under extreme anxiety. Now, somebody might say, well, if Jesus was under extreme anxiety, then we should be too. No, Jesus was in extreme anxiety because He knew what was going to happen. People get under extreme anxiety because they don't know what's going to happen. Fear of the future. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of a corona bug. Fear of disease. Fear of sickness. Fear of all these different fears. You know, scientists say that the children are born with two basic fears. One of the loud noises and one of the fall. Yes. I don't know about that. But then they did a study. They let these children turn into adults and they found out they have thousands of fears. They're learned fears. They learn these fears. Where do they learn them from? The devil. The devil. God didn't come up with fear. God came up with faith and love. Fear didn't happen until after Adam sinned. See, here's the thing. Adam was running around in the garden and everything was good. He was covered with this shield of protection, this grace bubble. And he, what did he do? He listened, him and Eve, listened to what the devil said. They didn't listen to what God said. They listened to what the devil said. And they sinned, and God came walking through the garden, and Adam hid himself. So God had to locate him. God knew exactly where he was. Did you notice? God knew exactly. How do you think you're going to hide from God? God knew exactly where Adam was, but he said, Adam, where art thou? What was he doing? He was locating him spiritually. He was trying to get Adam to locate himself. He said, I was afraid, so I hid myself. See what fear does? See what fear does? It got him separated from God. At a time when we need to be running to him, people are hiding. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right there in verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. Literally, be anxious about nothing. Do not tolerate anxiety or worry, for it will injure your soul. God alone can help you, and he will, if you will pray about everything that happens and give thanks for everything. Do not tolerate worry. Worry's going to come. I promise you. You'll always have an opportunity to worry about something. Finances. What's the stock market doing? What's the global economy doing? Can you change it? I mean, literally, can you change what's happening in the global economy? Did you know you don't belong to that? You belong to a different kingdom? You know, Isaac, he faced the same thing. He got worried one time and there was a bad drought going on and he ran down to Egypt. God told him not to go down there. He said, you know, God, that was not his idea for him to go running to Egypt. The church runs to the world all the time. And they're not supposed to. He got Isaac back there where he was supposed to be, and Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped a hundredfold return. He had a good crop. He planted in a drought. And that's the Old Testament biblical stories people might try to pass off, in the church. Sits there and says, well, that's just something God did, show a miracle. It's still true today. It's still true today. My friend, he planted wheat and they had a drought. He said, no, I don't have to have rain to grow wheat. I have to have the Word of God to grow wheat. Now, do you imagine how foolish people must have thought he was? He said, no, I planted wheat. I don't have to have rain. It's going to grow. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So everybody was cutting their wheat for hay. And they said, you better get busy. He said, no, I'm gonna combine mine. So they said, okay, whatever. So he got big trucks to come in to haul his wheat. And he got out there at the combines and harvested his wheat and had good crops. That's not just some story. That's a real life event that one guy that I personally know did. But he didn't lay awake worrying about it. What you pray about in faith will happen for you. Another farmer up there one time had Glenn Smith. There was a huge grasshopper infestation. So he got Glenn Smith up there. They were up there. And he said, I need you to go pray over my wheat field because these grasshoppers are eating everything. So they said, okay. So Glenn said they were flying around this field. And they were going around praying. And Glenn was pleading the blood of Jesus and pronouncing the word of God over this wheat field. Rebuking the grasshoppers. And he said they got up there and there was a little strip that went up like that. And kept going. And that farmer just kept flying. Glenn said, well, what about that little strip? He said, don't worry about that. And they just went around the big part and they skipped that little strip. Well, it got time to harvest. And they went out there and they harvested the big field. And there was nothing left to that little strip. What they didn't put under the blood of Jesus got devoured. Put yourself under the blood of Jesus. Put your finances under the blood of Jesus. Put your jobs, your careers, everything under the blood of Jesus. Amen? Don't let it get devoured. Plead the blood of Jesus. And don't worry about it. This is a biggie. You're going to have that worry come. I tell you, when most of you do, some of your best worrying is about 2 o'clock in the morning. When you wake up and you decide your kid's being an idiot somewhere. Or, they said in the newspaper that the stock market's going to crash. They said on the news that everybody's going to get the COVID-19. What's going on? The devil's shooting fiery darts at you. And what his whole deal is he wants to get you to worry See, if he can get you to worry and get you to meditate on that worry just a little bit, get you to meditate on it just a little bit more, get you to think on it just a little bit more, and get it bigger and bigger and bigger, then maybe he can get you into a little bit of doubt. Then, well, maybe I didn't do that prayer just exactly the way I should have. You know, maybe if I would have been living a little bit differently last week, then maybe my prayer would be a little bit stronger. You know, and then what happens is he gets you into fear. And he's taken you completely out of the arena of faith. How did he do that? When he hits you with that little bit of worry, you got to play a mental basketball with yourself. You're thinking about it. You might have even tried to have a positive thought about it. But that fear and that worry kept on milling around in there, driving you crazy, until finally it got so big that you just couldn't handle it no more. What we need to do when that worry dart hits, I didn't say if. I said when that worry dart hits, you need to wake up and say, it is written. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is written. By his stripes I was healed. It is written. It is written. It is written. I can't express to you enough how important it is for you to say something about your situation. You just sit there and think about it and think about it and think about it and think about it long enough. Pretty soon what's going to roll out of your mouth, it'll be like Job. That thing that I feared the most has come upon me. When you could just stop it with a few words. A few of God's words out of your mouth into the atmosphere will stop the whole situation. But you got to say it. You can't sit there and think about these things and then expect something good to happen. It goes on here. Says, be careful for nothing. Says, we got this. You know, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. While we're right there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Says, therefore I say unto you, this is Jesus. I mean, it's one thing for me to say something. It's one thing for a famous preacher to say something. But it's when it's in red, it is Jesus, the greatest faith preacher that ever walked the face of the earth. Did you know he was a faith preacher? Right here, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's saying a lot. I mean, life covers everything. He said, don't take a worry. Don't take a thought for it. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? You see where he said that? Circle that verse. You want to know how you take a thought? Say it. That's how you take a thought. That's from the mouth of the master. Take no thought, saying. That worry hits, you start thinking about it, and then you start talking about it. That's what happens to people. That's how they take that thought and make it their own. But when that thought hits, talk to that thought. Talk to that mountain. Talk to that mountain. You tell the spirit of fear to get in the name of Jesus. Amen? It said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. See, this is what happens. That's why you can't buy any toilet paper in town. The shelves got emptied. The Gentiles. And much as I don't like to say it, most of the church hit the panic button and went down there and bought as much toilet paper and as much food as they can, like there's not going to be a tomorrow. Did you know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Did you know he fed you yesterday, he's going to feed you today? That's a novel idea to think about. Most of the church got caught up in Christian amnesia. They forgot that he took care of them yesterday. Did you know that he's taking care of you during all these other things that have happened? Do you ever think about this stuff? You know, when it was going to be the year 2000, everybody was freaked out. They were like, what are we going to do? The world is going to shut down. Our computers are not going to work. The stock market is going to crash. Fear mongers were reading this stuff. I mean, Y2K, what's going to happen? People were locking down. And the church was weirded out about it too. You know, there was a comet, the Hale-Bopp comet. That thing was flying around. There were people who got caught up in that thing, thinking this is going to be the end of the world. They killed themselves. As far back as I can remember, there had been some kind of earth-ending thing that's been about to happen. You know, when I was a kid, everybody was freaked out about the sleeping sickness. And there was freak out situations before that. I watched, this ought to be a comforting thought. Back in the old days, they used to have these training sessions for the kids, just in case there was a nuclear bomb that got hit. They told them, put these newspapers over your head and go hide. That's going to help. You know, these guys are leading the nation right now. These guys are in the Senate and the House of Representatives. These are the guys that used to hide in the newspapers. No wonder they grew up to be hippies. Give me a break. Now, today, they said this coronavirus thing is out of control. And so everybody goes and buys all the toilet paper in town. Use your head. At least go buy meat. Come on. Something that's going to do you some good. Well, you see what happens when people get caught up in worry and fear. Jesus said, don't do that. Now, the Gentiles have to. They don't have a God. They don't have a Heavenly Father to take care of them. They have to worry about these things. They have to worry about what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, what they're going to drink. You don't. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He is your shepherd. Let him be your shepherd. Let him take care of you. Amen? How are we going to do that? The Bible says to submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. How are we going to submit ourselves to God? I agree with what he says. Agree with what he said and say it. You got to say these words out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. Just like when you got born again. You had to say words out of your mouth so your ears could hear it. Amen. Is that trying to talk God into something? No, that's getting your soul to line up with the Word of God. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What was he doing? He was talking to himself. He was telling himself how he was going to feel. He was telling himself how he was going to be. That's what we do. That's what we should be doing. Amen. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need, you have need of all these things. He already knows that you need food, clothing, and shelter. He already knows that you need all this. And he met it at the cross. He met every single need at the cross. It's all been met. It's there. He said he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's right down here on this earth. That's not in the sweet bye-bye. That's down here. All your needs have been met. They're right here. You just got to reach out and receive them. Amen? Now, that's the biggie. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. You see how this happens? You need food, clothing, and shelter. You need health, whatever it is you need. Don't go seeking that. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So let's talk about that first thing. What is the kingdom of God? Turn over to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat, it's not drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I cannot tell you how important it is to get a revelation of that verse. You've been put in right standing. Your sins have been completely washed away. Everything that was wrong between you and God before you got born again got made right the minute you said, Jesus, save me. It all got made right. Now, you stand in the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus, and you receive mercy and grace in the times of need. You receive from Him. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you at all. Matter of fact, your sins have been taken completely away. You're in right standing with Him. The same favor that Jesus has is the same favor that you have. Amen. Jesus took His robe of righteousness and put it on you. And that's what God sees. He sees the perfect work of His Son when He looks at you. He's the perfect sacrifice. He doesn't look at you. He doesn't look at you. He looks at the work of His Son. He looks at the sacrifice. That should make you happy. That could cause joy in your heart. Now, you're understanding the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace comes when we find out God's not mad at us. We have peace with God. See, that's what the world's seeking, is peace. They're seeking peace. They want the squirrel cage to shut up. So they go running to the doctor. And not just the world, but a lot of the church. Run to the doctor, and the doctor says, okay, I'll give you these Xanax or these whatever this or this. This will make you okay up here. No, it'll mask symptoms, but it won't get to the root. The root is the same root that happened to Adam in the garden. He fell into condemnation after he sinned. See, that's why he was afraid. That's why he hid himself from God. That condemnation. God had to take him out of that garden so he didn't eat of that fruit from the tree of life and live forever in that sin state. But He got Jesus down here and fixed what Adam broke. He brought us into a whole new covenant. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ was made a curse for us. The Bible says that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When Jesus got on that cross, He took that curse that was meant. I mean, we qualified for the curse. We qualified for the cross. But Jesus took our place so that we could take His. Amen? What's His place like? And here's the thing. The Bible says that as He is now, so are we in this world. How is Jesus today? He's blessed and highly favored. He's at the right hand of God. He's doing well. How are you today? You're blessed and highly favored. You're at the right hand of God. You're doing well. Sometimes people just don't know it because they don't know the Bible says that. See, what you don't know can and will hurt you. But you got to know what the Bible says. Why? So when that devil who walketh about, roams about, seeking whom he may devour, shows up at the foot of your bed in the middle of the night and roars, that's a worry thought. That's a roar. That's a roar. Then you can just get up there and say, it is written. Get. God does not want you to be worrying. Now, it's one thing to say, fear not, or don't worry. But we have these minds that never seem to stop. They just keep thinking and thinking and thinking. So we have to think on something else other than the fear. So that worry hits, you got up and you said something to it. You spoke to that mountain. You told it to get. You gave it it is written. This thing's still thinking. Go back over here to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 7. It says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what we want right there. We want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to keep our hearts and souls. How do we get there? Well, he did say in verse 6, he did say, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you know it's okay for you to go ahead and pray for your needs? Yeah, it's okay. Let God know what you're thinking about. Say, you know, Father, I got these bills. I need some help with these bills. I got these, you know, I would like to get some food. You know, there's just different things. You can ask him for that help. And then thanksgiving. Amen. So what are we going to think about then? Go down to verse 8. Says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, which you have both learned. Oops. Yeah. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's our directions to peace. That's our pathway to peace. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us. We thank you for everything that he is doing for us right now at the right hand of God. And we thank you for everything that he will do for us when our redemption is made complete in him. Father, we praise you for this beautiful, beautiful day in this beautiful country we live in. We praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's have some coffee and some cookies and visit.